Matthew chapter 16, let me read one verse, verse 6. Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." In the world that we live in, there are many warning signs, right? If you are traveling, if you're traveling by car, if you're traveling by, bike, there are warning signs you see on the road, right? Danger, go slow. There are warning, but nobody takes them seriously. But there are warning signs. Then, even if you, in a day-to-day household items, if you buy a mosquito hit or cockroach hit, there is a small warning down. Danger, poison. Right? That's a warning sign. You'll have to handle that with care. And there are electrical warnings, right? There is a big transformer somewhere in the road and there is a danger sign. You will see on skeleton head and with the double cross, saying danger, be warned. Warning is part of our life. Parents warn their children, right? We regularly warn our children. If you don't study, you will never prosper. Study. We keep warning our children. Companies warn their employees. Government warn their citizens. And pastors often warn their church members. What happens when we don't listen to those warnings? What happens when we always continue to take the warnings in a careless manner? We will face the consequences, right? Consequences of ignoring the warning sometimes can be very, very costly. Very, very costly. And once we face that consequences, that's when we realize the value of the warning. Oh, my father told me, my parents told me. Oh, my pastor told me, he warned me. But I did not pay attention to his warning. Look at how much I'm suffering. Just if I would have just listened to that warning, how good my life would have been. Right? That happens, right? But all these consequences that happen in this life, we suffer, I know some consequences end up give us suffering all our lives, but they are all temporary, right? They end with the world. The Word of God, which is filled with the eternal life, which is filled with the words of eternal life, gives us some warnings. And if we are careless about those warnings, it has not only temporary consequences, but it has terrible eternal consequences. Right? It has terrible eternal consequences. Psalm 19 verse 11 says, "By your word your servant is warned. When I heed and keep them, there is great reward." When I listen to the warning of the word of God and I'm careful, I keep that warning, there is a promise that there is a great reward. God blesses us with great reward when we listen to the warning, when we take the warnings of God's word carefully. That's what Psalm 19:11 says. In Matthew 16, we've read this, we are looking at not the warning of a man, not the warning of a prophet, not the warning of even an apostle, but the warning of the eternal Son of God. It is one of the greatest warnings given by the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere in the New Testament. Right? That's what we've seen. And the structure and the language of this text makes the warning so serious, so solemn. We saw last week, the way he introduced this warning, he gave strict orders. Right? He kept repeating, not just once, but he kept repeating that in Mark. And then he adds two strong words, "Watch out." It calls for a mental alertness. You'll have to be very, very alert. And beware, keenly, deeply study the object that I am telling you about so that you can avoid the danger coming from that. That's what beware means. Know about how many teeth, beware of dogs, know about dogs, how it will bite, how many teeth it has and it bites, what happens, how many injections you have to take. When you think about all that, right, you will always avoid being bitten by dogs. So that's what he says, beware, aware. It comes from the word aware, right? You be carefully aware of these dangers so you avoid them, right? So that's what it calls for. And what is the danger? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees and Mark had Herod. Right? Disciples, we saw the disciples were initially clueless, blind. The Lord did an operation, spiritual operation on them and made them realize. So we've seen the explanation of the text so far, and I didn't have time to bring much application last week. So today is a day of application, right? I want to structure my application in two parts. Firstly, the first part of the application is, how do we, living in 21st century, if we have to apply this today, September 20, 2020, think about it, a special day. Today is September 20, we are living in 2020. How do we, living in this age, identify the Pharisees, Sadducees and the Herods of our generation? Right? These men have not died. These men, their descendants have continued to live in every generation to spoil the church, to attack the church. How do we identify? What are their traits? How do we identify them so that we are able to obey this command in our own life, right, in this age? So that's going to be the first part. I'm sorry to say my morning session will have time only to complete that, right? And then in the second part, the Lord teaches very important principles that we should never forget in this passage. What are those principles? So that is what, you know, these are principles that internally apply to our hearts, you know, that we need to be careful, we need to apply those principles in our hearts so that we are aware of, we are watchful about these Pharisees, Sadducees and Herodians. So there are external threats. How do we avoid those external threats? There are internal safeguards we need to have. There are two parts, right? The first one is external. We are going to look at external today morning. I am really not sure how we are going to look at the external, because the internal principles, because I plan to preach that today evening when the Tamil service gathers for Zoom meet. And if you are, you know, very keenly interested to look at the second part as well, we can do a session. Just let me know after the service. We can plan some time today or even tomorrow, that's fine. So the second part we will look at later on. So let's look at the first part. What is the first part? The first part is, how do I identify externally in the time that I am living in? How do I know who are the Pharisees, who are the Sadducees, who are the Herodians? Only when I know them I can be careful about them. Only when I know them I can watch out for them. Let's look at one by one. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The leaven of the Pharisees, Luke says, is hypocrisy. These are people, for them the authority is the traditionalism. Tradition is their authority, right? The authority framework. And externalism becomes the motive of their religious performance. Why do they pray? Why do they come to church? It's all externalism. They want to maintain an external religion. Outward show in the temple, in the prayer, in almsgiving, all concerned about how I look to people, how people see me. No cares of the condition of their hearts. Who are the Pharisees today? So just like if there is a contest, if we run, who, the first prize of 21st century Pharisees goes to, if I have to announce, who would that be? If you are thinking, people, I would give it to the great Roman Catholic Church, right? The first prize goes to the great Roman Catholic Church. If you cannot see that, you don't know Roman Catholic Church, basically. Because officially holding, what is the problem with the Pharisees? They hold on to the Bible. They say they believe everything in the Bible. But in their practical implications, applications, they deny all the truths of the Bible. That's what Roman Catholic does. They negate the Bible with their tradition, right? Holding on to the Bible, confessing, saying we believe in Bible, we believe in Trinity, we believe in humanity and deity of Christ, we believe in the forgiveness, the death, the resurrection of Christ, all the doctrines of Christian belief. They do. They say they believe. At the same time, they nullify, they invalidate the Word of God by introducing the tradition, right? by introducing the traditions. They make the word of God to no effect with their traditions. In reality, all the practical, if you believe the resurrection, shouldn't your life be like this? If you believe the law of God, shouldn't you honor your parents? Then they bring the support of traditions and nullify the practical implications of the word of God. That's what they do. That's what the first prize goes to them. Most of us know little of Catholic, you know, if you look at their dogma, they have a traditional document, right? It is called their dogma, through which they, you know, they believe that the word of God for them, the doctrines. You will exactly see they do exactly what the Pharisees did. Same thing, no change. Now there is one latest document they released. You know, it's called the Question and Answer Catholic Catechism. How I wish to know if they also have a catechism. Do you think only you have a catechism? They also have a catechism. And it's approved by Vatican. Right? Vatican is their headquarters. It's approved by Vatican. And this is what the catechism says, you know. Where did we get the Bible? We have the Bible by the authority of the early councils of Catholic Church, which decided which writings were truly inspired by God. Therefore, note, the Bible may rightly be said to be the Catholic book. We feel like laughing at all this, seriously. It's a Catholic book. No, they decided that. And what is the Word of God? That is the question. Both sacred scripture and sacred tradition are inspired Word of God, are the forms of divine revelation. Sacred scripture is divinely written. Sacred tradition is unwritten word given orally. Look at how they bring everything. Both the word of God. And next question. In what degree must we accept the Bible? In what degree must we accept the tradition? One must accept the Bible and tradition completely equally, because both are revealed by the word of God. You see the problem? This is exactly what the Pharisees did. Bring the tradition. Add the tradition. When Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Pharisees, if he would be standing here in our pulpit today, I'm very, very sure he would be talking about, he would be saying, beware of the leaven of the Roman Catholic Church that negates the word of God. Right? He wouldn't say, you definitely say that, watch out, beware of the Roman Catholic Church, because they set the word of God equal to the tradition. They nullify, they invalidate the word of God by their tradition. You see that, you see them doing that, you know, even in practical things. Apart from removing the second, if you take the law of God, what do? They nullify every law of God. Right? Every law of God, apart from removing the second commandment, you know what they've done? They've taken the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God. Right? There is only one being that needs to be recognized as God. And he manifests himself in three persons, Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. What have they done? They've brought in their tradition and nullified that by adding a fourth person. Right? They don't worship Trinity. In English, there is a term called quaternary. That means you have four gods. Right? You have Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. Father is on the top. Below the Father, you know, this side is Mary, this side is Jesus, Holy Spirit is down. They've kind of, you see, some of their temples are like that. They worship a quaternary. They worship four persons in Godhead. They don't worship Trinity. Only God should be prayed to, right? Our catechism says the prayers, all prayers should go only to God. What do? They, millions and millions of people, what are they doing? They even today morning, what are they doing? They're praying to Mary. I have a tenant in my house, old house, who wakes up every morning. You will see her 30 minutes praying in front of a Mary photo and very, very religiously praying. Like that, so many millions of Catholics praying to Mary, right? So read some of their prayers. You feel like laughing, you feel like crying sometimes. If Mary in heaven would know what is happening to her on the earth, I think she will not be happy in heaven. I think God may be hiding her to keep her happy in heaven. She would be so grieved to know what they are doing with her name. And take the second commandment. Absolutely. They've removed the commandment. Do not make any idols. Third commandment. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. It basically means don't use the Lord's name in a manner that mindlessly, without, you know, without affecting your heart, right? The Lord Jesus said, don't pray in such a way, you know, like the heathens who think because of much praying that they are heard. What do these people teach with their tradition? You have that rosary prayer, right? You know, you turn one rosary, say the Lord's Prayer. You turn one prayer, say Hail Mary. You turn one prayer and keep saying prayers. That's what they do. Keep saying, Blessed, oh, Hail Mary, glory to God. Hail Mary, full of grace. Lord is with you, blessed among women. All this. And you say 1,000 times Hail Mary. You will be bestowed with much grace. And what do? They sit half an hour, 1 hour and keep saying Hail Mary prayer. Repetition, repetition. Is not that a direct breaking of the third commandment? Taking the Lord's name in vain. How is it different from the Hindu system of Sri Ram Jayam? They write, right? Ram Jayam. That's what they do. That's what they do. Making void the word of God, right? And you know, the word of God clearly says, do not call anybody father in a religious manner. And the RC exactly breaks this. Calling Pope. Who's Pope? He is the Father. He is the representative of Christ. He is the representative of the vicar of Christ. How it attacks the central truth of Christianity, right? It says it believes in of Christ's atonement, in the doctrine of Mass. They have a Mass. They have a communion service. You know what they say? Christ's sacrifice is not once for all on the cross. But every time the priest takes up the bread, and he breaks it and gives to people, Christ is again sacrificed in a non-bloodied manner. Right? And he is given it to people. The sacrifice happens as the priest does his work. How horrible. Hebrews says it was once for all sacrifice. It was a completed work. He made us perfect with one sacrifice. What do? They negate that. It's an ongoing sacrifice. And it's Bible says, you know, we have one high priest and all the believers have become priests in the New Testament. No other priest can be recognized. What are these people doing with all their priests, with all their robes and all that? With all their traditions and the sacraments, the penance, the prayers to saints, all cancels. You look at all these teachings, every teaching cancels one of the foundational truths. This penance, the sacrament, all that cancels the justification by faith. It's a glorious truth. None of your works, none of your penance, none of your sacraments is pleasing to God. You are justified only by faith. And what do? They teach people to do works. They teach people to do penance. And if you do, you will be justified before God. They attack that truth. This is a horrible leaven of the Pharisees, and I think we should be very, very beware today, because they are a people just like the Pharisees, and so many Roman Catholics. There may be Roman Catholics who may say, "I've had Roman Catholics. Oh, I'm a Roman Catholic, but I don't believe all the Church says." But the point is, if you don't believe all the Church says, the Church, Roman Catholic Church, you are not a Roman Catholic. You understand? The people say, I don't believe everything. But the Church says, if you don't believe everything the Church says, you are not a Catholic. If you are not a Catholic, why are you continuing to claim you are a Catholic? No, this is what the Church preaches. It's all against the Bible. It's attacking the Bible by everything. They don't allow anyone, you know, to make any individual judgments on their dogma. Only the Church has the authority. Nobody has the authority to read Bible and come up with any truth, right? You see the Pharisaic spirit embodied in the RC Church, adding to the Bible, the prayers to the dead. Right? Bible says you shouldn't pray for the dead people. They pray for the dead people. Celibacy. No, not marrying. Forbidding people to marry. You know, if you are a priest, if you are a nun, you don't marry. Purgatory. Auricular confession. That means, you know, you sin something and then you'll have to go to the priest in a corner in a box. He will be sitting in a caged box and you go and, you know, you auricularly confess your sins. All these practices and many more are all the traditions. That's why the Lord and he warns the leaven of the Pharisees. We should be careful. We should be careful. Just like those Pharisees persecuted our Lord and his disciples. If you read the church history, the horrible things this church has done. Right? The Pharisees, what did they do for Christ and his disciples? They always persecuted, right? They wanted to get rid of Jesus. That's what the Roman Catholic does always to the true church. That's what they keep attacking. If you read church history, they've done horrible things to stop Reformation. Now read some of the horrible things. They would call the Protestants as damnable heretics. You fit to be punished and sent to hell. They cannot be saved. They've committed a sin against the Holy Spirit, sin against the Mother Church. They're only fit to be sent to hell. You know what they do? They catch all these people and burn them at the stake. The horrible things, some of the, they've removed the eyeballs of men, they cut the breast of women, they ripped open the stomach of some of the pregnant women and took the baby. You may wonder, no, I'm saying horrible things. Read the book of Foxes of Martyrs. This is what they've done. Today the Pope Francis may come and give a good smile like this as a very good man, but it's a horrible, devilish, demonic religion. Look at the church history. They've done horrible things, horrible things. Today, you know, just because we are in a democracy, we are in a civilized world, it doesn't serve that purpose to call us damnable heretics, right? If they burn us in the stake, the government will cast them, right? So they're very careful now. And you know what they call us now? The Protestants, Roman Catholic says, they are the separated brethren, right? They are the separated brethren. Separated from what? Separated from the Mother Church. It is like Jesus Christ wants to embrace the whole people of Christianity in the Roman Catholic Church. And Pope as his representative, he keeps calling and all the separated brethren. And we are all aberrations, you know, born outside the house. And we are all scattered. And the Pope comes and as a peace, messenger of peace, he wants to embrace everybody. So he comes with a smile. He keeps going everywhere with a smile. He's the vicar, he's the sovereign of Vatican City. And he wants to bring, he's a great peacemaker, he wants to bring everybody to the fold. Oh, this is the pit of the leaven of Pharisees. You'll have to see the danger of, it looks so harmless, right? You know why it looks harmless today? There was a day where it was very, very horrible, very, very horrible, and by the terror, by the persecution, it made people, it put fear in people to be under its fold, right? You go outside the church, you will be persecuted. It used fear. Now, it uses its harmless face, trying to deceive people, trying to bring people to its fold. Oh, Pastor, no, we have to beware of these leaven people. We have to be very, very careful about this. Because, oh, Pastor, you may say, we are Reformed Church. You are unnecessarily causing warning. You know, can anybody in the Reformed Church become a Catholic? What do you think? Oh, we can never go back to Catholic, Pastor. You may say that, but I know, but history shows. And even when you read some of the Christian magazines, I get an email with all the latest Christian news and all that. You know what is one of the top headlines? One of the top headlines? Men and women who've been brought up in very good churches, very good Reformed churches, Baptist churches, and biblical churches from the childhood, because they were not careful, they didn't recognize the danger of this church. You know what is happening when they are becoming 40, 50, they're all with their families getting converted and going back to Roman Catholic Church. That's one of the top headlines now. People are going back to Roman Catholic Church now. When they are old, when they should have more wisdom, it's an amazing mystery. How is it that happening? It can happen to anybody in us. Right? If you are not careful, if you don't know the face of Roman Catholic, oh, we are not supposed to hate them. Oh, I am in Reformed Church, I am going to heaven. Oh, you are also Catholic. Oh, be faithful in the Catholic Church. You will also go to heaven. No, that never happens. It's a horrible pit of hellish religion there. We'll have to have a burden for all the Catholic people and pray for them. But we'll have to be very, very careful that it is a leaven of Pharisees. If we just allow that leaven little bit, it will affect us. It's not only, if it is only Catholic, It's only Roman Catholic Church, and if we had all other good churches in our country, how good it would have been. But I really don't know how to explain our situation that we are in. Rome may be 100% fully leavened, right? Leavened with the leaven of Pharisees. But there are millions and millions of so many other churches. If you take so many other churches, some churches may be 90% leavened. Maybe CSI is 90% leavened. Some percent 70%. Some churches, you know, 50%, like that. There are various degrees of leavened churches. That's what we are surrounded with. They are leavened with the Pharisees. And you see a mix of traditional teaching, which is the teaching of the Pharisees, which is the leaven of the Pharisees. And you see a mix of Sadducees, rationalistic teaching. Right? You'll have to be careful. Today, if I warn you, I'll have to warn you about the leaven of Arminianism. You know what Arminianism is, right? Some of you have learned. That is what 99% of our churches in our country are. It's a mix of traditionalism. It's man-made teaching. It's against the Bible. And it's a very rationalistic teaching. Oh, you can't understand the sovereignty of God. You can't understand how man is responsible. You can't understand election, all that. So what do I understand? I understand that man is capable of getting saved. When man comes, one person comes and another person comes. So we have to put the credit to the person. Because he is coming, and maybe God saw him coming, and that's why he chose him before the foundation. It all makes sense, right? In fact, if you look at, compare Calvinism and Arminianism, it's more, Arminianism looks more rationalistic. It's, you can, you know, understand, right? And somebody loses salvation, somebody goes back into the world and who have been a Christian, you understand they have lost their salvation. So it makes all sense. It's a mix of rationalism and traditionalism of the Pharisees. It's called Arminianism, right? They're fully against Bible. They don't understand how God can be sovereign and man can be responsible at the same time. Salvation is not dependent on God but man's free will. We'll have to be careful about that teaching. Because that kind of Arminianism, where does it lead? It doesn't lead to heart religion, it leads to external religion. Right? You are sinful inside and sometimes you come and put up a show, you just outwardly, you come to Christ by the power of your own free will, and you try to maintain the power of your own free will religion, which you can never lead. Right? How many of us can lead a Christian life by just the will, sheer willpower? No, you can't. You fall off, you have problems in your Christian life, and if you don't know the truths of doctrines of grace, you end up living as a hypocrite, you end up living as a Pharisee. Right? That's Arminianism, deadly Arminianism. Be careful. Because 99% churches in our country, from the liberal CSI, from the Pentecostal, from the Baptist, from all of them, you have Arminianism, all leavened. Spurgeon in 18th century said there is a downgrade of truth happening. If you leave the historical truth with the church believed every century, what our forefathers believed, that is all recorded in 1689. We will go down, go down, go down very soon in a 200, 300 years. Most of the churches in the world would have become the synagogues of Satan. He said that in 18th century. And that's what has happened to our country people. That's what has happened to our churches. With all that teaching of the Arminianism, with all these leaven, a part of Phariseeism, a part of Sadduceeism, they've all become churches of demons. We'll have to be careful. So corrupted are the Christian system today. It's like a pile of ignorant people who love to live in darkness. They don't want to open their eyes and see. It's like a pitch darkness. The sadness in our country, you know what? When a person simply with simple faith opens the Bible and he sees and understands the doctrines of grace. He opens the Bible and sees that God is not helpless God. He's a sovereign Lord. He can control people. He believes in the sovereignty of God and he believes in total depravity, he believes in election, and when he begins to understand that, what happens in the church? You know what happens in the church? The people start, you know, the pastors start having a counseling session with you. They tell you that you are going in a wrong direction. They tell you that you are following some false teaching while they themselves are embodiments of false teaching, they say people who are going in the right direction, like just like the Pharisees, neither do you go, nor do you allow others to go into the kingdom of God. When people with honest Bible reading, they see the doctrines of grace, they see the total depravity, they see election so clearly coming out in the Bible, they start believing and talking to pastors. You get rebuked in the church. You get separated in the church. Right? It's like blind following the blind. And people who come out of those churches face a lot of persecution, you know. A lot of social persecution. Now, we've had people in our own church. I don't know if you have had. I think Rajan has faced that kind of problem. Vinod, who was in a Pentecostal church, has faced that kind of problem. They had to ask him to leave the church. Can you believe that? Just because he believed the right thing. And same thing, Asha from our church, you know, she faced such problems. It shows how horrible outside Christianity is. Outside Christianity, a brother who prayerfully reads and understands the coming of Christ, right? He doesn't see any secret coming. He doesn't see any Christ comes and then there is a 7 years of tribulation and then Christ comes again and he establishes 1,000 years reign. All that is not there in the Bible. And when somebody goes and asks them, tells them that, I don't see all this in the Bible. You know, you are treated as if you are a theological heretic, a leper. Oh, you shouldn't spoil other church people. Shut your mouth. You know, we will take you action against you. When you believe the right things, you can't explain how the situation we are in. Horrible, horrible situation. You know, some brother and sister, you know, they live in that kind of horrible bondage of the Armenian God who's helpless, who's dependent on the free will of man. Oh, believe, oh, I'm crying like Jesus, you know, please come to me, please come to me. Nobody is coming. When somebody recognizes that he is a sovereign God, he is a God that who can make anybody come. And that brings so much of comfort, that brings so much of joy, and they want to go and joy, share the joy with the pastor and with the church members. They are treated as if they are lepers. You should shut your mouth. You shouldn't talk about all that in the church. That happens. That happens. Can you imagine how many hundreds and thousands of people who are coming to that truth are struggling in those churches? Right? These are samples. You know, we know the Asha samples. And when they come to a church like ours, they are filled with so much of joy to learn, to understand these truths. Do we realize what atmosphere we are living in? People will have to be very, very beware of the leaven of the Armenianism that is so prevalent today. If you don't strongly grow in the Reformed truth, if you don't have strong experiential conviction of these Reformed truths and appreciate how blessed you are, blessed are you, that you, the truth that you hear, you will soon be affected by this Armenianism. You will sell this truth if you don't, whatever we don't prize it, right? Whatever we don't see it as a great privilege, what will we do? If you don't value it, we will easily sell it. Right? Please recognize that this is a truth that majority of the Christendom doesn't have. You'll have to value this. Never sell this for anything. That's the beware of Phariseeism. Next, let's look at them. The Pharisees are all external, traditionalists. The first prize goes to RC church, and there are various consolatory prizes that goes to different churches. Right? They're all a mix of Phariseeism and a mix of man-made teaching of Armenianism and Sadduceeism. Okay, what is the leaven of the Sadducees? How do we identify Sadducees today? Sadducees, they don't believe supernatural miracles. That's their major problem. They importantly don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe angels, they don't believe that the souls are going to live for eternity. They are a priestly group. They are the high priest group. They do all the rituals in the temple, but they don't believe these things, right? The Lord says, you'll have to watch out, beware of the Sadducees. See, if I have to beware of the Sadducees, the Lord expects that I need to be perceptive. I need to understand the perspectives. I need to recognize who the Sadducees are in my generation so that I'm careful about them. Careful about them. These people are, we can summarize these Sadducees are rationalistic people. You know what rationalism means? Rationalism basically means if it doesn't make sense to my mind, right? If it can't be proved scientifically, according to the standards, according to my mind standards, I will not believe this. If it doesn't make sense, I will not believe this. That's a horrible attitude. That's the attitude of the Sadducees. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. But you know, the strange thing, they claim to believe the Old Testament. They claim to believe the Old Testament. They are skeptics. They doubt the truth revealed in the Word of God. Skepticism, free thinking. You can think as you want. What are the manifestations of these people in our day? Oh, you know, see, the problem is we don't, some of you have never seen any other churches, right? Let me tell you, give you a taste of what happens in other churches. What is happening in the other churches? It's because of this leaven. It is spread everywhere. It is spread everywhere. Most of the denomination churches, if you see, the first prize goes to the Roman church on the leaven of the Pharisees. The second prize, the first prize for the Sadducees goes to all the denominational churches. They are called the liberals, religious liberals. Liberals basically means you are very loose in your belief of the Bible. Right? You will believe anything science says. You will believe anything that makes sense to you. And you know, change your beliefs. You are not very staunch fundamental beliefs on the Bible. You don't have that kind of belief. You are liberal. You can believe anything the science comes and says. Tomorrow this can say this, tomorrow something else. So you are very generous with your beliefs. Liberal means you are very liberal, right? That's what it means. You accept anything liberally. Liberalism. In the Christian faith, if you look at the lowest level of theology, it's liberalism. You can't get lower than that. If you go below liberalism, you become an atheist. You say there is no God. That is the next step. So the lowest level you can get to in any theological faith is liberalism. That is the lowest level. Most of the CSI churches, most of the denominations today churches are liberal churches. Liberal churches. What is their problem? They've actually, at a level, already become the synagogue of Satan. There is no step after this. The next step is you should deny God and go to the world. That is the next step. That is the lowest step. Liberalism. Like I said, step by step from the 18th century, it came today, the churches have come to a liberal level. It started from the 18th century. Like Charles Spurgeon said, you're going on a downgrade controversy. You're going down, down. This step will lead you to liberalism. He prophesied actually. He said this is going to happen. You know how it all started? It all started with a doubt in what the Bible says. That's how it starts. That's how it started in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Satan, did God really say that? Right? You create a doubt in what God said. That is the path for liberalism. Right? You doubt that there are errors in the Bible. There could be errors in the Bible. You cannot, it doesn't make sense to you, cannot agree. So you allow this little bit of doubt of leaven into your heart. What happens? You doubt one of the foundational principles of the Bible. Step by step it will bring you to liberalism. Liberalism. Liberalism today has an outward attachment to the Bible, to the scriptures. But they reject the infallibility of the scriptures. That infallibility basically means there is no error in the Bible. There is no kind of errors in the Bible. In the 18th century, what happened with all this new invention, there was a man called Darwin, right? He brought a theory of evolution. He said the world, man was not created in the image of God. He was created, he came out of monkey, out of millions of years of revolution. And with some stupid arguments, he kind of proved scientifically man came from monkey. That's where it started. Churches also were taken aback, and some of the churches also started believing science, because science was a very new thing. They said, man, maybe not created, maybe not a creator. So it's so convenient, right? So much invention, so much luxury, so much sinful things are coming. Now, can I live as a creator? If I believe that God has created me in His image, if I believe I am a created image, then I am accountable to God. If I believe that I came from monkey, I can live as I want, right? I can have as many relationships as I want. I can drink, I can smoke. I have no accountability. There's no judgment. Why will God ask me if I am a monkey? Right? So I live like a monkey. So that was so convenient to adapt to that truth and leave the Bible. How it came. So no creator, no judgment, no accountability. So that they don't, slowly, you said, world did not, God did not create the world in 6 days. It took millions of years. Adam and Eve were not historical characters. They became, one doubt, it led to another doubt. So miracles are not real things in Bible. Parting of sea, who can believe parting of sea? Who can believe there are angels? How can you believe that somebody, some virgin had a baby? Can you believe that science, has science proved that? No, science is not proved, so we will not believe. And because he is not miraculously born, when you touch that, you also touch his atonement, right? Because he is not miraculously born without sin, such a person dying on the cross cannot atone for the sins of the world. So you don't believe atonement. Because you don't believe atonement, you don't believe this resurrection, right? He died and he rose again. So they removed all the supernatural things in the Bible. So no atonement, no substitutionary death, so all the miracles of the Bible. And they also don't believe in the supernatural work of the Spirit, the regeneration, right? The Holy Spirit makes a sinner new. They don't believe that. They don't believe judgment, they don't believe hell, earth, all liberalists. These are the Sadducees, these are the association of Sadducees today. You wonder, if you don't believe all this in the Bible, I keep asking, if you don't believe all this in the Bible, why do you stick with the Bible? Why do you come to church? If you don't believe, that's the mystery. You don't believe all these, but you outwardly attach yourself to Christianity. You don't believe virgin birth, you don't believe on Christ's resurrection. And great people like, you know, William Barclay and all that, they're kind of becoming liberals. He doesn't believe in resurrection. It's unbelievable how, but he's one of the best scholars in Bible history. I don't know how they can attach themselves with the Bible. That's the mystery. You don't believe anything in the Bible. Why don't you go with the world? No, they will attach. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. You start with a small doubt. That doubt spreads in your heart. And you start disbelieving a lot of the fundamental truths. But outwardly, you are brought up in Christianity. Outwardly, you have a habit to go to church. Outwardly, maybe you are a priest. But inside you have all these doubts and you come outwardly to worship God. You continue to attach yourself to Bible, continue to attach yourself to external religion, free thinking people. You wear that robe. But you are a professor, and this is what in our day, there are men and women who deny all this and what Christ has done, but there is an outward attachment to Christianity. You know, it comfortably allows their soul to live in terrible secret sin. You can live as you want, but outwardly come on a Sunday and, you know, in an outward religious form. You may not know, have you ever asked, why are there so many churches in our country? They don't authoritatively preach the Bible. Have you gone to a CSI church? Yeah, you are from, some of you from a CSI church, right? If you go there, they don't authoritatively preach the Bible. They don't verse by verse take and thus says the Lord. They don't authoritatively preach the Bible. Why? Every church doesn't preach the Bible. Why? Because they are liberals. You know, they are pastors. The pastors, the people who stand in that pulpit are all trained in liberal theological colleges. They are the professors who teach them. Are professors who believe, who are liberals. Who don't believe they are supernatural in the Bible. They are science people. They believe the world was created in millions of years. And they give all liberal explanations. If you go to any of those colleges, if you have little faith in the Bible, they will make sure you that faith completely goes off. You come out as a liberal theologian. Right? They will do that. They will remove that. And such colleges and such churches, what are they? They are the Society of Sadducees. Society of Sadducees. These Sadducees, having rejected the Bible, just outward religion, rituals, forms, they extract some terminology, some words from the Bible. So what do you have? So that's how they run the religion. No, the first prize for the Sadducees, if you ask me, should go to the CSI church. They are the complete liberals. The first prize goes to, the leaven of the Pharisees goes to Roman Catholic Church. The second, you can actually organize an event and put a memento and gift all these. The second prize on the leaven of the Sadducees goes to the CSI Church. The Church of South India and the Church of PNI also. We should include them. We should not ignore them. Right? Because the churches in the United Bible College, the churches in Tamil Nadu, they're all liberal colleges. They teach what? Liberal theology. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe the infallibility of the Word of God. They don't preach that Bible doesn't have any error. Right? That's why they lack the conviction that Bible is accurate, Bible is infallible, it's the authoritative Word of God. They think there are errors in the Bible. There are errors in the Bible. So what do they do? How do they keep the religion? Isn't it interesting? You don't believe all this. How do you keep your religion going? You know what? They replace the authoritative proclamation of the Word of God. Instead of that, you have some kind of relational religion. You know what relational religion is? Man to man, how you can live very religiously. How you can live very godly, outwardly. Right? A social religion. A social gospel. The prosperity gospel, right? Concerned people, their psychology. They go to psychology. Can you believe one of the subjects of theological study is psychology? You go to CSI, any colleges, those colleges, they have a subject called psychology. Where does psychology come in the Bible? You know why they have psychology? Because they don't believe in the authoritative word of the God. And to run the church, they include psychology. Because you understand people, you understand how to make them comfortable. If they come with sin, guiltiness, you use psychology and make them very comfortable. You speak nice words to them. Armiyanavargal, my brothers, my beloved dear brothers. Psychology. They don't believe in the total depravity, the fall of man, the atonement, the miraculous birth of Christ, the effectual calling, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And what do they have? They have a natural psychological religion. They just dress that up with biblical terms. Biblical terms. Secular psychology dressed up with biblical terms. So what do you get when you go and listen to a Sadducee's full spirit? You go and listen to a CSI church. What do you get? They may pick up a verse just like a pickle, right? You just pick up a pickle. And they will go round and round. They don't explain that verse. They go round and say, brothers, I was in that state and I met somebody. They give some testimonies. They make you feel good. They may sing Christian hymns. No, they may sing, they have nice robes, Christian names, you know, Reverend Samuel, Reverend that. They don't leave all that names. You notice that. They never write their names individually without putting Reverend or Bishop. You know why? Because it gives them, makes people think that they are really biblical. Because they are really godly. And whatever they say, it's not just psychology, it's godly things. You know, because they always had to have that name tag. And what is their sermon? It's all pious platitudes. Basically pious sayings. Right? And you know, learn some of the CSI pastors with the big robe. They always come with the robe. So they don't look like a robe, right? They always come like a robe and the things that they say, it's all planned, pious platitudes they've read somewhere. Maybe they've read from Thirukural, maybe they've read from some Hindu Bhagavad Gita, you know, some religious mix of all these things. Experiences of good feeling, testimonies of how people were sick and glory to God, they are all healed. Testimonies of how somebody in their church was a drunkard and now he's left all that drinking, all that cigarette smoking is gone. Oh, hallelujah, praise the God. This is what goes on in the church, people. You should see that. This is what goes on. And when the Christmas comes, they don't preach on the virgin birth. They preach on how the Savior came to this world for the peace. The peace, we should not fight with China, we should not fight with, that is the peace they talk about. We should be very peaceful people, we should love Hindus, we should love Muslims, we should give all that Christmas, the gifts, and we should love them and promote peace in the society. Did Christ come for that? It's all psychological, secular psychological teaching dressed up in Christian terminology. That's what they do, because they don't have anything else. It's just outward attachment, people. We'll have to be careful. Don't be deceived saying CSI Church is also a Christian church. No. It's an association of Sadducees. Liberals. Liberal people. Beware of the leaven. So a constant duty with respect to this teaching. Lord, how should I be careful? Lord, as GRBC church, he cries out from heaven, people be careful about the association of Sadducees, these denominational churches who pose as Christian people, who pose as godly people, but they are liberals. They may have a Bible. They may claim we believe the Bible. They don't. They are liberals. They are loose. They have a loose and hard and fast rule about the Bible. Be on your alert. Tomorrow you can become a Sadducee. How does it all start? It starts with the slightest doubt about anything that your mind doesn't understand. Right? Anything your mind doesn't understand that is clearly revealed in the book. Beware, beware. Because how can you have the puny, small, your mind, human mind? It is so small, right? And that mind, you take that mind with all the effect of depravity and sin affected in that mind. You are a creature. Your creatureliness, your limitedness, you have a limited thinking, and with that thinking you are trying to assess the eternal word of God without any humility, and you think that you can judge what is right and what is wrong. What's wrong with us? That's a horrible thing to do. The moment you have the spirit that begins to, instead of humbly, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know it is revealed in your word, but I believe this, Lord. Help me to believe this. I can't doubt anything in your word. Unless you leave that spirit and start doubting, that is the leaven beginning in your heart. You continue in that path, step by step you will come, you will say no miracles, no atonement, no virgin birth, and you will become a liberal. And just because you've been coming to church, you will continue to come to church, but you will not have a heart religion. Right? You will have an outward, beware of rationalism. Beware of rationalism. That's very dangerous. A day will come where it will become a very, very horrible Sadducee. Right? Now, there are young people here. You have a technology. You have, earlier, after internet came, they used to call it as the age of information. Right? Information age. IT, information age. Information technology. Now, you know what is that? What that is happening? The age of disinformation. Because WhatsApp, social, what has it done? It is giving all fake news. It is spreading all wrong news. It's becoming an age of disinformation, wrong information. Right? People no longer know what is right. And in this age, it is so easy to get trapped with all these kinds of doubts and people raising even an educational framework. Right? The things that I see John's book, and they have a theory of evolution. If he allows that little bit in his mind that maybe I've come from monkey, right? Maybe the world did not, it's not what the Bible says. If you allow that kind of doubt little bit, see, ideas are very, very powerful. Once Satan plants an idea in the mind, it can spread in your whole body and affect your whole being. Very, very powerful, the power of idea. If you allow little bit of that doubt in your mind, questioning the Bible, you will become a Pharisee. Sadducee, right? You'll become a Sadducee. Beware. Be very careful. Don't allow any kind of questions in the Bible. No, because your eternal soul depends on that. Depends on your faith. Little bit of leaven. The whole mind can get corrupted. The whole mind, it can cause great danger. Great danger. See, there are truths in the Bible we don't understand. We can never assess in our mind, in our all life, in all experience, right? There are preachers who are Puritans, reformers who have read Bible all their life. At the end of their life, they've never understood something. It's okay, we don't understand everything. Even the being of God. How can God be one and God be manifest in three persons? We don't understand that. But Bible reveals, so we believe. That's a humble faith. our mind is not the judger of everything. You know, we should not go with that kind of attitude. That's what makes you a Sadducee. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful of the Sadducees, even of the Pharisees. Treat any question marks on the Bible truth as if they are the steps to hell. Because that's what it is. It will lead you. If you have any kinds of questions about the fundamental truths of the Bible, of the Reformed truths, they are the steps for you to go to hell. Go to hell. Right? You know, we should be like Martin Luther. Even if the whole world, if the Roman world said another thing, this man was standing alone. He said, my conscience is bound by the word of God. Unless this word of God says something, I will not believe anything. That's how we should be. That's how we can maintain, right? That's why Christianity is declining. It's full of Sadducees. Our country is full of Sadducees. Higher school of learning. How do we avoid being a Sadducee? Okay, now I'm not getting time to go to the leaven of Herod. Okay, let me skip and let's go to that. Okay, this is, you know, this is the danger, people. This is the danger of being a Sadducee. The spirit of doubt. The spirit of limiting God. If you allow that, what happens? You don't believe any miracles. You don't believe God can work supernaturally. If you allow that kind of attitude, you will never believe the promises of God. Even you can be in a Reformed church. God keeps saying, seek the kingdom of God first, and I will take care of your needs. And you don't believe supernatural things can happen. And why will you seek the king? You don't see the connection between me seeking the kingdom of God and God meeting my needs. So what do? You live like a Sadducee. Oh, that can never happen. So I will continue to seek the world. Right? That can affect in many ways. Okay, God says, be faithful in tithing. No, I will take care of your needs. You don't see the connection, miraculous connection between tithing and God taking care of my needs. So you continue to be doubting God. Right? You don't never tithe. Why? You know, you are a Sadducee sitting in a Reformed church. See how it can affect us when you don't believe the supernatural things. The Sadducee spirit is a horrible spirit. It can have multiple repercussions. Okay, let's quickly look at what are the Herods. What is the leaven of Herods? Our time is up. See, the Herods, the followers of Herods are called Herodians. Herodians, and you see that in some places in the Bible, Matthew 22:15, it talks about Herodians coming with Pharisees and trying to question Jesus. So who are the Herods? We know the Herod the Great. He is the one who started this dynasty. He was the one who was there when Jesus was born. He was the one who killed all those babies, right? He was the great Herod the Great. And this guy, he was the one who built the temple for the Jews. The temple that the disciples were so impressed, they went and showed. He wanted to build a temple more glorious than what Solomon built. Why did he do that? Was he a godly man? Did he want to glorify God? You know, no. He was a political opportunist. Right? Political opportunist. He wanted to ensure that, you know, Jewish people appreciate him, so they all vote for him because he built a temple. And make use of that. Make use of the name of God. Make use of Bible. Make use of Christianity. The attributes of God for political and worldly ambitions. Right? That's the leaven of Herod. You use the name of God. Use the things of God for political and earthly ambitions. Jesus called him the fox. Go tell that fox, cunning fox, right? You know the fox and the crow story? How careful the fox is, very cunning, right? He is just like that fox. He will say all kinds of lies. He will put a big drama. You're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Can you sing a song? He's just like that. He built a temple for that. And you know, after he died, he divided his kingdom with his son. But one of the important son is Herod the Antipas. He was the one who married his brother's wife, and he was the one who arrested John the Baptist, and he was the one in that beautiful party, birthday party, where he made his own daughter, stepdaughter, dance and then cut the John the Baptist's head. And this man, you know, this is a dynasty, this is a family that has been going on. And there were a lot of young Jews living in Israel. They were fascinated and attracted by this Herod. Because he would adjust with Roman, he would compromise with Roman, he would be very generous to Jewish people. He kept giving them money, he kept bringing them Rome culture, right? Rome kind of culture, Rome idolatry, Rome freedom. And some of these young Jews, they got influenced by him. Because he was giving a lot of money, he was building temple for them, he was doing all good things, and being oppressed by this Pharisaical strict religion, they saw freedom in what Rome is bringing. They saw freedom, and they looked at his lifestyle, living with many wives and all this immorality. They also started learning that. They also started enjoying that. And you put up an outward show, build temple, do good, and then at the same time you become a political opportunist. You earn money, right? You have lot of money and you can live as you want, live sinful life, luxurious life, but still build temples, do good, do, you know, very be generous to people, give money to poor people. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. We can call it as a political opportunist. Use the name of God for political and earthly ambition. Right? Those are the people. Do you think we don't have that kind of influence now? They are the political opportunists. They were affected and they were called Herodians. Right? They were called Herodians. And they hated Jesus. They hated the teachings of Jesus. Because they would have two faces. One face for the Rome. Right? They compromise with Rome, get all the money, all the power from Rome. And this guy was, you know, ruling on behalf of Rome. Rome had no problem. They allowed him to rule. And they had another face when they come to temple, a Jewish face. Right? You have both the faces. You have one face for the world, you have one face for the temple. That's how they lived. That's the leaven of the Herod. They were religious pragmatists. So how are the Herods seen in our generation? They are people who, if necessary, they would, for their political and earthly ambitions, would use Bible, church, God, all that for their political ambitions. And there are people today, our country is filled with such people. Because the teaching of Bible, what does the teaching of Jesus do? It divides people. Right? It brings a sword in people. It calls for pure righteousness. It calls us to stand separate from the world. Holiness means we'll have to be separate, right? We can't mingle. It rebukes all these political people. It speaks to the conscience of these political people. And people who are cheating, people who are political opportunists, who are living without a conscience, our lifestyle, the church cheating should actually rebuke them, prick their conscience. What happens when the church joins with these people? What happens when the church joins with these political people? You know, they are very, very willing to come and build churches. You know how many politicians have built churches, built temples? They do that. You know how willing the corporator of Lingrajpuram was willing to help our GRT special school hostel? He was very, very willing. Even the MLA, I had an opportunity to stand with them. They were very, very willing to come and help us out. Right? They were very, very happy to build and help. And they said they will give us a big land. Allow our trust to be combined with their association. And they will give us a big land. They will give us enough money. The people will sponsor and we can do big, big ministries. They were wanting to do that. What is the problem when we do that? You know, what will happen? We will be leavened by them. We can't join, you see, the Herods, Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all joined together for only one reason. You know for what? To get rid of Jesus. To kill Jesus. Because they did not want the teaching, the truth of Jesus to spread. If the truth of Jesus spreads, what happens? All that drama will go off. If the Jews all believe the truth of Jesus, right? The temple drama, the Pharisees, Sadducees will not have a job. Right? The truth of Jesus will deliver them. And the Herods, they can't keep doing their political drama. They can't keep building temples and get people's vote and become politicians. Right? Jesus exposes all that. So they want to get rid of Jesus. They want to avoid the truth of Jesus being spread. So they want to come and help. That's what will happen today. When we go and join, let's say our MLA or corporator, we join them and join our church, our hostel, everything with them, it will hinder our gospel preaching. It will hinder our gospel witness. And we can't go and preach to them. We can't be a witness to them, rebuke them and say their lifestyle is wrong. And what they're doing is wrong. We can't be a salt and light to them. Right? We will be association again with them. And we will be very hiding the truth in many ways. Right? If the disciples would have joined Herod, what would have happened? Just think about it. Lord, we don't even have bread sometimes. Why don't we get some money from Herod? He's a very generous man. What would have happened? You know what would have happened? That leaven would have spread. They wouldn't have spread the gospel at all. Jesus Christ wanted them to be alone so that separated, not be affected by them, so that the pure religion of the heaven can influence them. So that they went and preached across Jerusalem. What happened? The Lord of Jews, Lord of even the priests came to the faith. And as years passed, what happened? The church, the whole temple system went away and the Christianity kept spreading. Where are the Sadducees today? Where are the Herods today? And even after 100 and 200 years, even the Roman Empire fell under the weight of Christianity. The truth of Christianity. Lord, the Roman system fell. That's how God wants us to work. The church has to work and overcome the world, destroy all these Pharisees and Sadducees, all the political drama. When God sends His Spirit with power and the truth gets preached, people no longer remain as slaves to these politicians, as slaves to these external Sadducees and Pharisees. That's how God wants to use the true church. But if we allow the leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herods to influence us, we lose our saltiness. We lose the purpose to be the church of Christ. Right? You see the danger? That's how the Lord wants us. So people, we've seen how to recognize. Right? I think I've made some sense on how to recognize in our generation. How to recognize the leaven of the Pharisees. The first prize to RC Church. Sadducees, the first prize to CSI Church. The Herodians, the political leaders of our country, of our area, who always are willing, so generous, when we go to them. I was called to a pastor's meeting, and you will not believe, there were 500 Pentecostal pastors wanting and waiting for MLA to come and talk, address them. Right? They gather every month, and the MLA comes and addresses them and finds out what their needs are, what the church needs are, so he can support. Some of the pastors have a permission to go to Vidhana Sabha and talk to them there. They have a pass to get to Vidhana Sabha. That's an association of Herodians. Right? How can they go and preach the gospel to those people? How can they rebuke the sins of the government? I can't do that, right? That's the way. You have to be careful about all this. You know, God has to give us wisdom. So we have seen a broad application practically as to how we can identify the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herods in the 21st century and be careful about that. The Lord wants us, be careful. Today evening we will learn about important principles from this passage as to how this applies to our own internal heart. What principles do we learn? May God help us this evening. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this message, though it is a struggle to decipher, identify the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians in our time. Lord, your spirit of wisdom has helped us to identify and guard ourselves against these influences, Lord. Thank you for opening our eyes. See these horrible influences, how it can affect the purpose of the church, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Help us to be indeed beware, watchful, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees and Herodians of the 21st century. So that we may not corrupt your church, we may not corrupt our faith in any ways, but live as a pure salt and light to this world for the purpose that you have gathered us as a church, Lord. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing the last hymn, hymn number